This is Around Your Kansas Home on AM 580 WIBW and FM 104.9. Online, we're streaming on the TuneIn Radio app and at WIBWNewsNow.com. Podcast available at the AroundYourKansasHome.com website. Around Your Kansas Home, providing you information and tips to keep everything around your Kansas home looking great. Now here's your host, Charlie Campbell.
Good Saturday morning and welcome to this week's edition of Around Your Kansas Home. I am Charlie Campbell, hoping all of your home construction and renovation projects are successful ones. How do we do that? Each week we discuss and sometimes we cuss some of the things that we're in the middle of trying to complete around our Kansas homes. There's several ways you can stay in touch with the show. Some of them are even new and more technological than before. So, pretty cool. Buckle your seatbelt. Are you ready for this? We have the old hat. We have the 1210 Southwest Executive Drive. You can send us snail mail if you'd like. Email Charlie at AroundYourKansasHome.com. You can visit our website, AroundYourKansasHome.com. Maybe you jumped in the car after picking up some stuff at the store, and you went, you know, I really wish I'd have heard more of this program because that was really informative. It'd be the first time this year. No, I'm just kidding. Go to our website and check that out, AroundYourKansasHome.com. Again, the Listen Live, the podcast pages. How do we answer all of these questions each week? I'm just reading one of the messages from Charlie at Around Your Kansas Home. I hope your seatbelt is buckled. I've had a lot of questions this month about water heaters. And why have I had those questions? Well, our incoming water temperature is colder than it is during summer months. So we have more expansion contraction going on. There's other technical aspects to this. Now, how in the world am I going to talk about all of these aspects of water heaters by myself? That's probably not going to happen. I had to go find the most nuts and bolts guy that would challenge me for how in-depth he's going to get to learn the answers to the questions. Joining us by phone, Fred Heineke from Big Rivers. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Charlie.
Are you excited? Is your seatbelt on? Are you ready to share technical nuts and bolts knowledge? Not as if we don't do this all the time anyway.
Charlie, I'm excited about it. I've got my seatbelt on, and I've got my propeller head helmet on.
Oh, you're killing me. Fred is, I think we're cut a lot from the same stock. We both attack questions. We really want to know more than anyone will ever tell us about how a product works. And Fred, one of the manufacturers that you very successfully represent is A. O. Smith Water Products. Let's just talk at a 30,000 feet elevation about the breadth of that product line first. Tell me just kind of an overview of what A. O. Smith Water Products offers.
Well, Charlie, that's a great question. A. O. Smith Water Products offers water heaters that range in size from 2 gallons all the way to 10,000 gallons. We can fit nearly any application, and they specialize in water heaters for the home and water heaters for larger business or industrial applications.
Which means that you're exposed to both sides. You're exposed to commercial, so when you're building that residential heater, you're looking at ways to make that last like the commercial customer is looking for. And then when you're designing one for a commercial application, you're paying just as much attention to the hot water demand needed in that commercial application that you would need at home, right?
That's exactly right, Charlie. These water heaters are built, A. O. Smith builds thousands upon thousands of water heaters a day, and as you and I have talked in the past, they build them one at a time. The care and the engineering that goes into a large commercial water heater is the same type of design and care that goes into even a small 2, 3, or 10-gallon heater.
That is awesome. So, the breadth of A. O. Smith. How long has A. O. Smith been around? I mean, they've been around a long, long, long time. Do you happen to know when they started?
Yeah, A. O. Smith has been around. The company has been around for well over 100 years, but they've been producing water heaters, glass-lined water heaters, since 1938.
How did you know? How did you know? Do you have a prompter or do you have access to the Around Your Kansas Home Message Center? It has to be one of the two.
I've got access to I've got access to everything, Charlie.
Apparently you do, because our Around Your Kansas Home Facebook Message Center, I got a question last week that we were going to address this week, and you just started the answer to the question. And it says, I'm just going to open it up here and read it. It says, I need to replace my water heater in the next 2 years. It's making really loud grumbling sounds, which I've heard you talk about why that is and the fact I need to replace it. My question is, what is a glass lining? I have glass on my windows. Is it the same thing in the water heater? Can you explain what glass lining is? You just broached that subject, so I'm going to pong that right to you. Fred, you want to talk about the glass lining, why it's there, how it's implied, what its purpose is?
Yeah, that's a great question, the one that we get relatively often. First of all, glass lining is just what it sounds like. It is a material, it's glass, that is ground up to a very, very fine powder. The glass is then sprayed on the inside of the water heater. We run it through a very large furnace where the glass comes back to its original form, and it protects the steel tank from rusting. Now, to give a little bit more down-home example, for those of us from Kansas, especially those of us who are agri-oriented, when you drive across Kansas, many times you'll see a big blue silo out there with a white top on it.
Yep.
And it'll say A.O. Smith Harvest Store on it.
Right.
Those silos, those big blue silos, have glass lining on the outside. So those silos that they quit making in the 60s still look brand new because they are glass lined. And that is kind of the idea behind a glass lined water heater. It is the best protection that we can find to protect the steel pressure vessel that actually holds the water.
So we have a multitude of reasons that it is a protective surface. First off, we're using the best components possible to mix the glass product. Then we're using the right application methods to apply it. And then you mentioned an oven, putting it in an oven and baking it in place.
That's correct. Once we spray this on, and you're exactly right, the application, when the tank is sprayed, it is negatively charged, and the glass lining itself, the powder, is positively charged. Kind of looks like paint almost when it goes on, but it's much, much thicker.
Right.
And the tank itself goes through a 1600 degree furnace. And when it comes out the other side, the glass is a beautiful, clear blue, and it is the tank is finished. It's ready to be for the bottom and top to be welded on it, and then it's ready to have the rest of the production process finish the job. And it's done that way on both electric water heaters and gas water heaters.
Yeah, we covered an electric water heater, I don't know, it seems like every winter for the last 13 years. There seems to be a big misunderstanding of how an electric water heater operates. The most common message, and I'm just going to let you address it because I'm sure you're going to address it the same way I did, but the most common message that we get is, I have a 40 or a 50 gallon electric water heater. I'm pretty sharp with a multimeter and I've done some testing. And I think the problem is my bottom element is not working because I have no power down there at all. I have plenty of power at the top one, but I have none at the bottom one. And that's I'll bet I've had that message 30 times in the last 10 years. So it's a very common thought process, and it's a big misunderstanding of how a residential electric water heater works. Fred, I'm going to pong it to you. Do you want to explain the two elements and how they work and how the two thermostats work?
Yeah, I'll be glad to try anyway. the best way to explain it is that in a residential water heater that has two elements, The elements are what we call interlocked. What that means is that the elements never, and I hate to use that word, but they never come on at the same time.
If they do, you've got a big problem.
That's exactly right. If they come on, then you're looking at some pretty significant issues. So the way the water heater is designed for the people that are trying to troubleshoot these water heaters is there's really one main thing to keep in mind, and that is that the lower element cannot switch on and will not switch on until the upper thermostat is satisfied. So what that means is that if we're using light draws of hot water, where on a water heater the cold water comes in to the bottom of the water heater, well, if we're using short draws, the bottom element will fire periodically because the top element or the thermostat at the top continues to stay satisfied. So that bottom element will come on and go off. However, if we have heavy use on an electric water heater, we find that at times the electric water heater can't keep up.
Right.
So the bottom element will fire until such time as we've used enough hot water that the top thermostat is no longer satisfied and the upper element will switch on. When that happens, it cuts power to the lower element, just as you mentioned a minute ago, and only the top element is firing. And when that upper thermostat is satisfied, it will switch off and turn the lower thermostat on.
See, I knew you would have a real technical way of wording it. My explanation, it was a whole lot more kindergarten than that, okay? I said the top element is the boss. We'll just leave it at that. If it's happy, it's got the power. Once it decides it's had enough power, it'll let go of it and send it to the bottom one. If during that time it decides it wants it again, it'll take it away. So I just call the top element bossy. Is that wrong?
I like the way you described it. That's exactly right.
Just trying to make it simple. So let's talk about an element that has failed for one of a multitude of reasons. Either it's been exposed to air, which is probably one of the most common reasons that an element would fail, especially prematurely. Dry firing a heater, when you're installing an electric heater and you apply electrical energy to that heater before there's water in the vessel, that can create a significant problem because that element gets too hot too quickly when it is not in water. So you have to have the heater full of water before you energize it. What are some other reasons that an element might fail?
Well, Charlie, that's on a new installation, which is where many calls come in. On a new installation, that is by far and away the number one reason, is a dry-fired element. Other reasons that an element may fail, it may, especially on the lower element, it may become calcified over time. Some of these elements, at times, I've seen elements last 15 or 20 years, and when they become calcified, and by that I mean if they've got white junk all over them. When you go to pull them out, and they're as big around as and sometimes they won't even come out of the hole.
Right.
That they become so calcified. That's a reason elements fail. Phasing. We have ice storms, thunderstorms, windstorms in our part of the country. And when you see your lights not going out, but getting dim during a thunderstorm or a windstorm, back and forth and back and forth. That's called phasing, and phasing is very, very hard on any electrical component. And if your water heater's firing at the time, then certainly that can lead to premature element failure. So, and then there's just the age-old issue, and that is the harder we use any appliance or any mechanical device, the sooner it wears out. So if you're running out of hot water frequently, if your water heater is working very, very hard, and like any other mechanical device, the harder it works, the more likely it is to fail in time.
Right.
And so those would probably be the top reasons.
We are visiting with Fred Heineke. Fred is manufacturer representative for several companies, but the one that we're really utilizing his knowledge for today on Around Your Kansas Home is water heaters. Fred, I get lots of people that ask, why is it in the winter time we tend to have more water heater failures in the summertime? You know, that whole temperature differential on incoming water temperature. I want to get into that next. Stay with us right here on Around Your Kansas Home.
Stay tuned. More Around Your Kansas Home is just ahead.
Introducing the new M18 Jobsite Radio from Milwaukee. This high-performance audio system features dual 3-inch speakers that deliver loud, clear sound with deep, accurate bass. A customizable EQ allows you to adjust settings to your preferred levels. The M18 Jobsite Radio features a stackable design delivering maximum versatility. Metal speaker grills protect from drops, water, and debris. Integrated handles provide an easy way to transport and store the M18 Jobsite Radio. Featuring a digital AM/FM processor, the M18 Jobsite Radio provides the highest reception accuracy and signal quality, delivering loud, clear sound in a durable, compact package. The M18 Jobsite Radio from Milwaukee.
Now, back to Around Your Kansas Home with Charlie Campbell.
We are back on this week's edition of Around Your Kansas Home. I am Charlie Campbell, hoping all of your home construction and renovation projects turn out exactly the way you had them planned. The important thing is you've got to plan them in the beginning in order for that to happen. But sometimes it's just fun to grab some lumber and just start building something and see what occurs. We're visiting this morning with Fred Heineke. Fred is with A.O. Smith Water Heaters. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Charlie.
I appreciate the last, 15 minutes or so that you've shared with us so far. And if it's okay with you, I'm going to keep you a little longer. Is that all right?
That'd be great.
Okay, so we covered glass lining. You're helping me answer all these questions. We covered the question about why one element works and the other one doesn't on an electric heater. And where we left off was the question I get most often through the Facebook Message Center is, in the wintertime, tends to be when water heaters fail. Why does that happen more in the winter than the summer?
Charlie, it happens for two reasons. One is thermal shock, meaning we have much colder water going into the water heater when it's used in, we'll say, in November through February, through the end of February. We have much colder water going into the heater. And number two, we use our water heaters much, much harder in the wintertime than we do the summertime.
Well, yeah, your showers are at least 2 to 3 degrees warmer than what you would take in June or July. And then, I don't know about you, but I have gotten a lot of questions about steam in the bathroom, which tells me people are using their hot water to warm up a cold bathroom. What's up with that?
We see that frequently, and that can be done. Of course, the result is a lot of fog, and you are using your water heater when you do that. And so anytime that we use that water heater during the cold weather, when we have cold incoming water, it just works that much harder for us.
That's absolutely right. So the technical term then is delta T. We have a much greater differential between the temperature of the incoming water and the set point by which we want the water heater set. Just this week, I've looked at 3 water heaters where a customer, for whatever reason, was having one issue or another, and it really wasn't around a water heater problem. But in the plumbing world, you have to look at everything. You never go to a doctor's appointment with the doctor not having his assistant take your blood pressure. So one of the things I always do on a service visit is a water pressure test. The next thing that we got into was the heater itself. There was a question about the heater's temperature setting. Where should it be? So I grabbed the thermometer, stuck it in a lavatory faucet on full bore hot water, and I was shocked to find out the water temperature was 145 degrees. It's really important to take a thermometer. So this is your homework for today. Take a meat thermometer, stick it in the hot water at your kitchen faucet or at your lavatory, and see what temperature it comes up. Fred, do you want to talk about governmental standards and where we really need to be temperature-wise with that vessel?
Charlie, I think that what really everybody, all installers, users, everybody in the industry is concerned about, of course, is scalding.
Absolutely,
and so,
right.
And so I would encourage everybody to take a look. Nearly all of the manufacturers have warning labels on their water heaters, and on that warning label is a table that gives you an idea of what different temperatures of water can do to your skin in a certain amount of time. So I think it would be a great idea to go into the kitchen or downstairs or into the garage, wherever your water heater might be, and take a look at where it should be set, and then do exactly what you're talking about, Charlie, and go to the nearest and the furthest faucet in the home.
Right.
And take a look and see what that water temperature is. If it's over 120 degrees, then we need to start to be concerned about the possibility of scalding.
That's absolutely right. And I don't have the data in front of me, and I can't imagine, maybe you have it memorized, but the number of seconds that you literally will lose skin off your hand going into the 130, 140 degree range is amazing to me. Here's the bottom line. I don't want you to try it. Set your heater no warmer than 125 degrees, I believe is what it'll say on the side of it today. 120 is a really good idea. Check that out. Now, I say that because the heater should be at 125 by the time the water gets to the faucet. And Fred makes such an amazing point. Check one of those farther away fixtures. And make sure you let it run long enough to get completely warm. We're visiting with Fred Heineke from A.O. Smith Water Products. Fred, is there anything I left out about water temperature that we should talk about?
Well, one thing I'd like to real quickly caution, just to give you an idea, that at 120 degrees, it takes more than 5 minutes to scald. But at 160 degrees, and that is the maximum temperature on a residential water heater, the maximum amount that the government will allow, it takes just right at a half a second to scald.
Now, is that not a significant differential in time? A half a second versus how long did you say?
More than 5 minutes.
More than 5 minutes versus a half a second. I knew it was a crazy number, and I've heard it, and I still think it's crazy. Don't try this at home. 125 degrees at the heater max. Let's just call that good. What do you think, Fred?
I like it.
Well, next topic. I have questions about replacing my tank type heater with a tankless heater. Fred, I'm just going to let you take it away.
Well, Charlie, that might take a little bit more time than we have, but we'll cover it very briefly. We get this call very frequently. Tankless water heaters have become more and more popular and will continue to do so. There are a lot of reasons why. But the most complicated question that we get from various installers, homeowners, builders, is how do I figure what to switch my tank type water heater with? How big a tankless do I need? And the answer is it's very difficult to determine.
Right.
Here's why. On a tank type water heater, and they range, what's common in a tank type water heater is 30 to 50, we used to see some 80s, or sometimes people will have a couple of water heaters in their home plumbed together. Well, we have all that water standing there just getting ready to be used. We can use it all at one time, we can use it over a period of time, or we can use it any way we see fit. When we move to a tankless heater, all of a sudden we find out that we can have all the hot water that we want, but maybe not at any given flow rate.
Right.
Let me give you an example. On a 40-gallon gas water heater, basic gas water heater, we should see about 70% of that tank out, or about 28 gallons of hot water out of that, at what we call a 30-degree drop. So if we have our water heater set at 120, about 28 gallons later, give or take, then we should see about 90 degrees.
Right.
But we can use that, we can use that 28 gallons, we can use it in 2 or 3 minutes if we want to, or we can use it over a longer period of time. With a tankless heater, there is no limit. So what we have to figure out with a tankless heater is how much hot water are we really going to need at what flow rate? Example, if we're taking a shower, and let's assume that our shower head is using a couple of gallons a minute. Well, at 2 gallons a minute, if I had that 28 gallons and I mixed it in, I might get close to a 20-minute shower out of that. With a tankless heater, it's unlimited. However, if I want to run 3 or 4 shower heads, then what happens is I no longer have enough recovery in that tankless heater to give me quite enough flow out of all of those heads.
Right.
So the reason I say that it's difficult is if I've got a family of 4, then I'm going to use a different amount of hot water or a different flow rate than maybe a family of 6 or a family of 2.
Right.
So it's difficult to give an exact size or exact way to calculate it. The best way that I would tell you to do it is to take a look at your hot water needs, figure out what some of your flow rates are and what you want to do while the water heater is heating water and how much you want to use, and make a determination at that point. And I can tell you who one of the best guys out there to help you figure that out is, and that's the local plumber. He understands how much water is coming out of each head, how much water is coming out of the faucet, how much your dishwasher uses, how much your washing machine may use. And the professional is a good guy to ask about how much water your home really is going to use.
You know, I can really back that story up, Fred. I just had a message here 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it was solely isolated to a flow rate question, and it had a lot to do with the shower head. I recommended a local plumber. The reply that came back to me was, I can figure out the flow rate through the shower head. I don't know why I would need a professional plumber for that. And the answer came back, and I said, well, you know, that's fine. Then calculate that out. Let me know how that works. About 2 weeks went by, and I got a reply that said, you know, I am sure glad that I quietly took your advice. Because when that plumber came out, he took one look in my bathroom and he said, wow, this is kind of a rare shower faucet anymore. I don't see these anymore. Wow, that's like a 6 gallon a minute shower head. They quit making those back in the 90s. What in the world would happen when you're trying to calculate flow rate if you just inadvertently sneak in a 6 gallon a minute shower head to all of those calculations that you're talking about?
Well, I can tell you it wouldn't take very many of those to really tax either your tankless or your tank type water heater.
You're absolutely right. It would suck a tank type water heater dry in just moments. Had another question through our Facebook Message Center asking about what is the typical temperature for a shower?
That, again, is a very good question, and I'm going to give you a range. It depends on the person. I like a very hot shower. My wife, I can get in the shower after she's been in there. I don't see how she stands it. But as a general rule, people start to get uncomfortable at anything under body temperature.
Right.
Body temperature at 98.6 is considered tepid, and normally a contractor's phone will start to ring if we're getting that temperature of water out of a shower head. On the other side of it is the hot side. And about the max that we normally see is about 110 degrees. But with today's home, some of the things that we're seeing, one of the things that really has an impact on how hot the water needs to be coming out of the shower head is the height of the shower head and how much aeration is involved.
Right.
So as you can imagine, a shower head that's placed at 5 feet, or I'm sorry, at 6.5 feet, the water has less chance to cool than it does, say, if we have a shower head that's mounted on the ceiling or maybe up very high for somebody who's taller. Just that split second and that aeration can make quite a difference as far as the temperature at which the water hits the body. So I'm going to tell you that between 98 and 110 degrees, with probably the sweet spot being somewhere around 107.
So you have just, again, exemplified the reason why we need to get that local, qualified service plumber involved to help you make all of these decisions. We're visiting with Fred Heineke, A. O. Smith Water Products Company. The next question out of the chute has to do with tankless water heaters again, and it has to do with the gas line. What might I have to do with the gas line in order to use a tankless water heater? And we're going to answer that question next. Stay with us right here on Around Your Kansas Home.
Stay tuned. More Around Your Kansas Home is just ahead.
Why is Made in Kansas important? UDOT was founded in Kansas in 1958, selling Kansas-made products. Made in Kansas means keeping our dollars here, keeping Kansans working. Blue Dot is committed to keeping the Kansas economy vibrant. Luxair products are Kansas strong and Kansas proud, just like Blue Dot. Blue Dot and Luxair, two names you have trusted since 1958. Thank you.
Now, back to Around Your Kansas Home with Charlie Campbell.
Thanks for staying tuned here to Around Your Kansas Home. I'm Charlie Campbell, right back here every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 following Cameron. Wasn't he amazing this morning? All of the things that he teaches us about our backyards, it's I don't know where he gets all the knowledge, but wow, is he ever good at making things grow. And he's actually convinced me this spring I'm going to try making some things grow. I'll let you know how that turns out. We are visiting this morning with Fred Heineke, and Fred is with A.O. Smith Water Products Company. And the last question that we had just started, Fred, before commercial break, we were talking about gas lines. And the question was, I'm looking at replacing two tank-type water heaters with one tankless water heater. How do I figure out the gas demand? So I wrote back because I knew you were going to say, well, a lot of that depends. So I wrote back and I asked what size gas line his main was and what the other fixtures in the home operating on the gas. He has a 1-inch gas line coming in off the gas meter. He has an 80,000 BTU furnace and he has a 60,000 BTU gas range. That's the only gas-burning appliances in the home other than the two tank-type water heaters that are currently 40,000 BTU apiece. So how's that for some data, Fred?
That's good data. So what that tells us right now is that he's got 220,000 BTUs potentially that are coming through his 1-inch gas line. So that's a question that needs to be asked before the heater is installed, before the tankless is installed.
Right.
And fortunately, the answer is pretty easy. It depends on the manufacturer, but the answer is very easy to find. Each manufacturer has a sizing guide for the gas line in their manual. And I would highly recommend that the manual be downloaded and take a look at it when we're deciding on which heater to put in. But more simply, the things to look for are, one, not just the gas line, but is my gas meter big enough to handle it?
Right.
So that's really the place to start. And then, unlike when we size water lines, when we size gas lines, the person that wrote in asked the right question and gave the right data, in that we need to look at all the appliances that will be using gas in the home, because it is possible and even likely in the wintertime that all of these will be on at the same time.
Right.
So when we look at that and we look at a 1-inch gas line, a couple of things what we need to do is, number one, we need to do just what your listener has done. We need to put together all the gas appliances that are being used in the home. And then we need to add the tankless water heater to it. In many cases, or most cases, a tankless water heater will use roughly 200,000 BTUs.
Sure.
So he's going to go from 80,000 BTUs to 200,000 BTUs, or a net change of about 120,000 BTUs.
Which is 120 cubic feet per hour, and in the overall scheme of things in a gas line system, 120 cubic feet isn't all that big a deal.
It really isn't. One of the issues that we see in Kansas is many of our our supplies are limited to about 260 cubic feet, and the meter is.
Right.
And so normally you can take a look at your meter, and it will tell you, or at least in the model number, normally relates to how many cubic feet it will pass through. Then the next thing we need to look at, and this can be found in every manufacturer's chart, piping size chart, is we need to see how long the pipe run is.
Right.
The longer the pipe run is, the larger it's going to need to be.
Sure.
But as long as we take just a couple of minutes, it's easy to do, and go to the chosen manufacturer's website, download the manual, and go to the gas sizing chart, it's really much easier to do up front before you call your contractor. You'll get an idea of what he's going to need to do.
So the follow-up to that same message is, am I really going to save money with tankless?
There's no standby loss in a tankless heater. By standby loss, we're talking about that vat of hot water that you've got sitting in your tank-type water heater now that most people do. There's no standby loss. That means the heat that leaves the water and goes into the home or up the flue, which is a nice advantage of tankless. On the other hand, the tankless is going to need some maintenance, regardless of the manufacturer. So many times, the maintenance needed for a tankless water heater might offset some of the savings. However, the use of the water heater, the only way that you can really know whether you will save money or not on a tankless heater, and we make both. We don't sell tank type. We don't sell tankless. A. O. Smith sells hot water. So really, either way that you go, the only way to really know when you turn on that shower head or that washing machine or the dishwasher or the kitchen faucet, we don't look at hot water coming out. We look at BTUs coming out. And the question is, what is the least expensive way to get those BTUs into the water? And so with a tankless heater, there's a lot of things that need to be looked at. They last longer than a tank type heater, a bit more to install up front. On the other hand, there is some maintenance involved. The tank-type heaters are less expensive to install, but normally they are what we call a standard efficiency unit, meaning they're about 80% efficient compared to a tankless that's about 96. So really, it depends on how we're going to use the water, what we want out of the water heater, and based on that, we can make a decision as to what appliance is best for the home.
Love the way that you think, Fred. We've got more questions, and we're going to hold you just for a couple of more minutes if you've got that to stay with us, and we'll be right back. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back here on Around Your Kansas Home.
Stay tuned. More Around Your Kansas Home is just ahead.
Are you considering a renovation or construction project in the Topeka area and looking for an easier way to complete your project? Locally owned Topeka Wind Supply is here and ready to help you select the right products. Then we supply area professionals the products you picked out on time. From a small renovation to a large commercial construction project, the Topeka Wind Supply team is ready to help you invest wisely in products that will last but don't break the bank. Doing a project yourself often results in wishing that you hadn't. As members of the Topeka Area Building Association, we supply the most professional contractors in the area that are ready to partner with you to complete your project on time and on budget. Imagine the taste of your dinner from an entire new kitchen or unwinding in a new custom bathroom. Let's leave doing it yourself to picking out colors and styles. Tell your contractor you want to pick things out at Topeka Wind Supply or just come see us. We have lots of referrals for you. Topeka Wind Supply, 3721 Southwest South Park Avenue, TopekaWindSupply.com.
Now, back to Around Your Kansas Home with Charlie Campbell.
We are back on this week's edition of Around Your Kansas Home as we almost run out of time. Good topics tend to go quickly. We've been joined this morning by Fred Heineke with A. O. Smith Water Products Company. And Fred, I can't thank you enough for spending time with us here this morning.
It's been my pleasure to be here, Charlie.
So we've got another question. We're going to try to cover this, and we only have a few minutes left. So it says, the tube coming down the side of my water heater is dripping. What does that mean? Do I need a new tube, or do I need something else? I'm just reading the message, Fred.
Charlie, that tube is connected to the TMP valve, and TMP stands for temperature and pressure. And that device is the most important part of your water heater. That device is designed to open if we see either extremely high temperatures, in this case 210 degrees, or excess pressure. Charlie, it opens at 150 psi on the pressure side. So if it is seeping, dripping water out of that tube, there is absolutely a problem with either the water heater or the installation.
Right. So if we have a problem, what are some problems that we could be connecting? Let's cover the first one first, which is temperature. What would cause temperature to go crazy? A runaway gas valve, something going nuts, causing it to get too hot. What are some other reasons it might be letting go on the temperature side?
On an electric water heater, you could have an element that has been dry fired and shorted against the side of the sheath. Or there is something that we'll not get very far into now called stacking, where you have a water heater that may be used several times periodically in short order that causes the water to stratify in the water heater.
Right. And that could be almost half of
those are unlikely.
That could be almost a half a program all in and of itself. So the other half of that TNP valve, if you will, is the pressure. Pressure has been a discussion on this program for years. We have talked about taking your static water pressure. We've talked about what dynamic water pressure is. But what we really haven't spent a lot of time talking about on here, and this is a great time to do it with you, is that little tiny tank comparatively to the size of your water heater. The little pressure tank that's installed somewhere near your water heater, beside it, typically on the cold inlet piping to the water heater. Now, somebody right now is saying, what in the world? I don't have a little tank by my big tank. Aha! Unfortunately, that problem is far too common. Talk quickly about that little tank, Fred.
Very quickly, Charlie. That little tank has an air charge on one side and nothing on the other. And when we put cold water into the water heater and it's heated, the water gets bigger. The water can't be compressed, at least not on Earth. So when the water gets bigger, if it has no place to go, it builds pressure in your entire plumbing system. That little tank is designed to take that excess water and cushion it with air and solve the problem. So without that little tank, your TMP, something has to give.
Absolutely.
What's going to give is the TMP valve. It's going to do its job. There's nothing wrong with the TMP valve. The problem is, why is it seeping?
Fred, you've done an amazing job today educating us here. I can't thank you enough for carving time out of your morning to join us here on Around Your Kansas Home. But my last question is, will you come back?
Charlie, I'd enjoy that.
Well, we would love to have you back. And you know who else we'd love to have back? We would love to have you back right here next Saturday morning. On behalf of our audio engineer, Roger Heaton, our digital engineer, Mike Bascom, the show's executive producer, Tim Kohling, I'm Charlie Campbell. Thanks for being with us today. I hope that the water heater topic was one that you found warming for your shower here in Kansas. We'll see you back here next Saturday morning for another edition of Around Your Kansas Home.
This has been Around Your Kansas Home with Charlie Campbell. Tune in every week for more tips to keep your Kansas home looking great. Around Your Kansas Home is a presentation of AM 580 WIBW and FM 104.9. Online, we're streaming on the TuneIn radio app and at WIBWNewsNow.com. Podcast available at AroundYourKansasHome.com.